by calling this Board of Director meeting to order. Just let everybody know this meeting is being recorded, and please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
My pledge of allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, guys. Sarah, roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
All right, Chief, were there any public comments received by phone, mail, or email?
None.
None? Thank you. All right, let's move down to Board Minutes of 12:10 of 25. Any review or discussion? Nobody got anything? All right, looking for a motion to approve the minutes of last month.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Sarah, roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, let's move down to financial banking. Secretary and Treasurer reviewed the banking reconciliations.
Yes.
Thank you. Monthly financial reports. Review or discussion? Chief, do you have anything?
A lot of the tax money's coming in, as you can see. Majority of it's come in all right. Different things that are highlighted. Contracted services are up a little bit. Our ambulance service collections, as you can see on page two, the new billing company, we're ahead of what was predicted, but a lot of that is just catch up from what was there before. If you go on expense portion, page three, medical costs, again, that's a lot of the new volunteers coming on. That's why that's already exceeded our line item for the year, but we can make that up easily. PERS, and so we're looking at anything over 50%. So PERS is a little bit higher, and that leads into the overtime costs. Workers' comp is at 60%, but that's because we paid all in one lump sum. This is on page five. Our audit's complete, and that costs us a bit more than what they do is they send us an estimate for that, and it ended up being $1,700 more. We did lock in those guys for the next 3 years on that, so that's good.
At 15,000?
No, it's slightly more every year. It goes up every year. I can show you the document if you need. Anything else above 50%? If you look at page seven, this station here, we have repairs that were done. We're at 63%. That's going to jump up a little bit more. We had to replace one of those electronic door locks outside here on the back, and those are $1,500. Those are kind of, yeah, they're expensive. D-Link station, that's at 291% over our budget. We only budgeted $3,500, but that, you know, took a new water heater and a new furnace. So, and Otis because of the roof. Talk about the training tower later. Apparatus fuel, I'm hoping that comes down. It's at 57%. You know, everybody sees the fuel prices are dropping, but it sure hasn't been reflected in our bills at all yet. And then I guess page 11 is the true tale of it. So last line there, total public safety expenditures, we're at 35% at 50% of the year. Do you have any specific questions? I know Nancy asked me a couple of things earlier. Anything that anybody sees that I can answer.
Does anybody have any questions for the chief? Nancy's still flipping, so I'll wait a second.
I'm done.
Okay. Looking for a motion to approve the financial report.
I'll move.
Okay.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, move down to 2025 fourth quarter QuickBook audit.
So I looked at, in your book, you have page 1 and 2, the LGIP account.
It's the little green.
It's in the green. So that when I was looked at, they had put in, it shouldn't have said cleared, because I wanted to know why there was errors on it, and they reconciled, it was changed to reconciled. They had just put the wrong write-up on it.
Okay.
The other thing is, on Melio, you'll see your page 1 and 2, those are all the charges of $1.50. They get so many that are free, and once they hit that limit, they pay $1.50 for every check that goes out. And you can see you get 10 free ones. So what she did is she consolidated them and made it $21 instead of $1.50 for every check. So she put it at $21 instead of writing them all out.
Okay.
And those are your two accounts. And I did review the banking, and I wanted to know what the ACH was, and I found that out. It's transfer of a lot of money. So, looks like we have a lot of money. Interest is going well.
Yeah. Thank you for getting that done.
So
appreciate
two were
that.
Done. It's a lot of work, so not having my own computer, she has a whole different setup, Kathy did. So when I get the computer back, hopefully, when I can reconcile with her to see how it's different than mine.
Good.
So.
Well, thank you for taking that on. Appreciate that. We need you to get that done. Okay. Any other further discussion on the audit? Okay, let's move it down to budget. Item number one, review the 2026-2027 budget calendar. Any review or discussion on that? Chief, do you have anything on that? Or?
Krista put this together based on our normal budget cycle and the dates that we use for that. And I've started the budget work already, started putting all that together. Even though you say we've got a lot of money, we haven't paid out $2 million for a ladder truck yet. So
mm-hmm. You should have a spot in there for secretary. Treasure payment.
A payment for spot for you? Okay. We'll be sure to put that in here next budget year. Anyways, that's the budget calendar. I see no issues, no conflicts with anything.
Okay.
Date to note would be April 15th would be the date of the meeting. In the front of your books, I've highlighted it in the calendar for you, so you know.
You're awesome.
It's green for money, so.
Well, it's 1 week after a board meeting.
Yeah. So that would kind of be like the most important thing, I think, that impacts you guys.
Okay. Any further review or discussion on the budget calendar?
Pick an officer.
What's that?
Do we have to pick an officer tonight?
No, next month.
Next month. So I'm looking for a motion to approve the budget calendar.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. So Dan and Nancy there. And roll call, please, sir.
Nancy Optimal.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Moving to new business. Item number one, resolution 2026-01, appropriate credit card refund. Has everybody had a chance to review? Yes.
What was returned?
So we ordered some rescue equipment, and they sent us extra stuff that we really only needed one set of things, and we got two. Normally, if this was just a couple hundred dollars, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have an issue with just rolling it in, but because the amount, I want to free up that money to use on other equipment that needs to be bought, especially with that ladder truck coming.
I have a board meeting tomorrow, North Lincoln Health District, and they should be cutting the check, and I'll drop it off.
Okay. Yeah, so it came in on credit card purchase. It was kind of a, we had to work with Kathy on getting the verbiage for this correct and how that comes back into us being able to spend the money.
Okay. Again, did everybody get a chance to read the resolution, or do we need to read it out loud?
No, we read it.
Read it.
Okay. Looking for a motion to approve resolution 2026-01.
Motion.
Second.
Nancy and Dan. Roll call, please, sir.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Item number two, resolution 2026-02, levy renewal. Review or discussion, please.
So this is continuation to our conversation last month's board meeting on the board was in favor of renewing our local option levy at $1.21. And that maintains the 21 firefighter positions and funds other programs and generally operations of the district. And so the two-part process in this, before to get it to the county, is that the board has to approve a resolution. That resolution includes the ballot title, the summary, and then what we would be using the tax money for. You can see on page two an estimate of the money that would be raised. And then the next, at the end of this is the SEL 805 form, which goes to the county so that they can give it a ballot number. And then after we get that, we'll have an opportunity to put our explanation attached to that. These are due the end of next month, but it's always better, even after I talk to county elections, that we get this done, send it off to them so if they see anything in here that's incorrect as far as, you know, I use too many words and well, is an ampersand considered a word in the ballot, you know, the summary and things like that, they'll come back and say we need to change it a little bit. If we do have to change it, it would give us an opportunity at the next board meeting to amend this resolution and not have to hold a special meeting sometime in February to do that.
When do we start advertising on that too, just to make sure it's clear to the public that we are not asking for more?
Yeah. So after we get a ballot title,
okay.
Then we'll have that number that we can use on all of our information that we would send out. We usually come out in April with a flyer that goes out to all the residences, and along with that, we'll include information on the levy renewal and what it will be used for. The district can only put out information.
Correct.
We can't tell you yes or no. Mm-hmm. None of our employees. Now, you as elected officials can stand up in any meeting wherever you are and say, vote yes for this.
And your information, can you put in there how much we're losing from urban renewal?
We could do that in the information that we hand out.
Present to the public.
It wouldn't go on the explanation form that we're limited in the number of words that we can use for that. And really it's,
okay.
You know, we can talk about in that what happens if it doesn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there'll be a reduction in service, we'll eliminate 21 positions.
We'll be volunteers.
We'll reduce, you know, our force to strictly volunteers. We'll talk about the number of calls that we're going on, simultaneously, all that kind of stuff. That comes in that explanation that goes in there.
Okay.
But yeah, we can do that in some of the other, in the reasonings why we need to do this, I think
mm-hmm.
we can put that out in our mailer that we can just show. Not a problem. And I think
do we want to do that? Would that really piss the city off, or does it?
Well, you know, that's the risk that you run, that you alienate other people. And if you make somebody too upset, they're going to say, I'm not going to say anything for or against. I'm just not going to say.
People have no clue what urban renewal is, basically.
That's true.
Joe Blow on the street. So I think that, I don't think the city has a say in anything that we put out.
They don't, but there's people that are supporting in support of that too, and
yeah.
It could hurt us
It's not the fight to fight at that particular moment in time.
Yeah, and I think what my job is to look at what other, get some advice from other people on what works and what doesn't work. You know, there's that one guy, I forget her name, she comes to all these conferences and she wants to charge us, you know, I remember when we going out, she wanted to charge us $5,000 a month for a year as it went up to the election, and she pretty much guaranteed it would pass. That's her business. Or I'll give you advice one time for $5,000. I think we did well on our own, but that doesn't preclude me from talking to other people and getting that information. What did you use? Why did it pass? How did you do that?
I think the biggest thing is as long as we get out to the public that we're not raising taxes any more than what they're paying existing right now.
That's the biggest.
And that's clearly said in this because you don't have to write in there. There's the statement that you put in there that says this may raise your taxes more than 3% because it normally goes up 3%, and now with an increase, it would go up more than that. And since we're not, we don't have to put that statement in there.
Correct.
And looking at several other ballot titles and summaries, then I was able to kind of pick and choose what sounded the best. And, you know, this is a renewal. You know, some people, well, I know one place they got in a lot of trouble that said this is a renewal and we're increasing it. And well, how can it be a renewal if you're increasing it?
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of deceptive, and I definitely don't want to come off as looking at this.
And that's why I feel we can just sell it just like it is, that we're, yeah, we're not trying to raise taxes or anything, just trying to renewal.
And I know that both the school district and the community college were successful in renewing theirs, and they were very clear that this was a renewal in the information that they handed out to the public. Kind of follow along with kind of the same verbiage and the things that they said and modify it to where it talks about us.
Mm-hmm.
So. Good.
You know, Ray, how much that urban renewal figure is that we lost?
Yes. So it's $85 million of property that we did not collect taxes on, and it came to over $55,000 just in this year. Just this fiscal year. Next year, you take that same amount and add a whole bunch more to it. And anything that gets built in that urban renewal, so anything that they're building up in the villages or whatever they're calling it now up there, and I know, Cody, you just got an apartment, a whole bunch of stuff that's being built up there, that tax base is frozen at zero, even though they built that. Anybody that builds a house up there or in Elscott, our base is zero. The only thing we collect on is if there is a levy or a levy and bond, we can collect on that. But the base tax, that's so that number. What I guess I'm trying to say is it's kind of a moving target until next year. It could go up by 10%. It could go up by 15%.
And how long is it for? 15 years?
25 years. And they estimate by the 25th year that they will have taken over $10 million of money that would have gone to the fire district. That's in their own estimates that they came out with in one of the urban renewal districts. The other one is $7 million, I believe, came to.
Didn't they make a statement once that they said, we'll consider buying the fire department another fire truck?
Well, yes, they asked that. They asked if we needed a fire truck. They asked if we needed a fire station. We don't need another fire station. The caveat to buying a fire truck, it has to be used exclusively in the urban renewal zone. So we can park it here, but we can only use it on going calls in that area.
That's a little
ridiculous. Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous. So.
Okay, that looks good.
All right.
The process is the motion that you guys, if you approve the motion and it's signed, and then I've got to both go by regular mail and I can email it to her both, but it has to go both ways. And then we'll stamp it as an original document and all that kind of stuff too.
Correct. So everybody had a chance to review and read Resolution 2026-02.
Yes.
If you see any words in there you want to change or modify, now's the time.
Correct. Everybody good with what's in there? Want to reread it?
You just need to reread this one.
It, it kind of, it does lock us in on everything on the 805 form. So what the caption is, so it's a renewal of the North Lincoln Fire and Rescue five-year operation levy. And then you have that question, is shall NLFR renew its local operation levy of $1.22 per thousand of assessed value for 5 years, funding the general operations beginning in the 27-28. Now that's the 20 words. Then the next one is where you would put that statement in, is this measure could increase your property tax by more than 3%, and I had this measure renews the current local option levy with no increase. And that's excluded from that 20 words. And then again, we're limited to 175 words on the next portion, and it just says concisely say what this is going to do. I even tried to get her to say that that bottom sentence where it talked about the revenue raised, because that's a requirement. I said, so is that included in that 175 words? Because you're making it as a requirement. She says, yeah, that's included in that. So you have to use those. I was hoping for a little bit more in that explanation area. Because I looked at Washington County's, what TVFNR wrote and everything, and theirs is like freaking 300 words. I'm like, well, how can they write all that stuff? And we're limited. It's the same, this is a state form. And so did their elections clerk allow that those bottom pieces to drop away and not be utilized in that 175?
So. It looks good.
Okay. Looking for a motion to approve resolution 2026-02.
So moved.
About a second.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxnall?
Yes.
Tim Beattie?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
All right, next thing on the agenda is local union 5169 report.
We don't have a written report. Hunter's here if he'd like to.
That was
say.
Me?
Yeah, Rose.
Got all
written.
Yep, yep, yep.
Earl. Okay. Well, he's the president. I don't.
Well, I'm being a you. I'm giving him out some of the work.
All right.
So I was just going to go over. I know we haven't done anything in the meetings in a while, so I just wanted to go over this last year, what we've kind of done, what we've donated, and all that kind of stuff. So, it'll be kind of brief and go over there. So, for our donations, so a lot of our guys don't, some of our guys don't live around here, so they don't really participate in a few things, so they'd rather donate some of the money and everything. So I think we donated close to $12,000 last year, including like $700 to the Stucco Valley Baseball, $1,000 to the swim club, the sports, the Lincoln City sports camp, like $2,000, beach cleanup and beach adoptions. There was $500, we did $4,000 for the leukemia stair climb. And then just a few others. The TAF cheerleaders, it was a couple hundred, and the Boy Scouts was also a couple hundred. Then $400 just out of the petty cash to like fire victims and normal things we carry around. So
the Stucco bought a car seat for a family that they had up there.
Then we've done a couple presentations. We had up north, the high schoolers that performed CPR on the coach, and so we did recognition for them. And
got the whole football team that was there. They all got challenge coins made by us.
Good.
And Tillamook Events Hospital was there for their ambulance, and then the Stucco Fire. I was there for them because they were busy running a call. So.
And other than that, we're just coming up, working with Chief about the levy and whatever, and figuring out how we're all going to work this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for? Nope. Okay. All right. Committee staff reports.
You've got the safety committee meeting minutes there from December, and I think that Chief Bickerdike was there if you have any questions on that. One of the new business items there is they discussed, and we have discussed internally, you know, Highway 229 slide and a lot of safety things, you know, working in and around slides is quite dangerous. And so we've talked at the safety committee and then get it shifts about if we have to encounter one of those and if we have to rescue people, what are our operations gonna be? And they talked here about an IAP plan that we've, so we put together an incident action plan based on that slide, and it's been forwarded on to the sheriff's office, to Oregon State Police, to Siletz Valley Fire, and they're all gonna have their input on it. It really covers a huge amount of information, from a medical plan, what do we do, what hospitals are available, how do we get them there, a communications plan that has all the radio frequencies that would be used, where those frequencies are in our radios, and then just general how we would divide up the incident, being north and south. The sheriff's office liked what they saw, the email I got back, they're still, he's handed it down to a couple of other guys more on the operations level to get back with us. I haven't heard anything back from the state police, but the other part about this particular plan is we can take the name off of it and put it out on Highway 18. We can put it up on Cascade Head, if they have slides up there. But anything else that's a larger scale incident, I think the same medical plan applies. The distances to the hospital, how long it would take there to get by ground or by air, who would be transporting you, all those different things. And so that was a good thing, and this, I'm glad that the safety committee took time to acknowledge that and to look at it. No accident reports. We'll have a couple of accident reports on this next one. Just some minor stuff that happened. Any questions about this? Chief Bickert, I can fill in for you. Nope. Volunteer Association meeting of the minutes are next on there. A couple of highlights on there is that they had set the date for the banquet of being February 28th. So put that on your calendars. It'll be that Saturday night. And they did elect some new officers for the Volunteer Association. And I can tell you that, we'll talk about it too, Chief Bickert, I at least we'll talk about how their numbers are gonna grow here in the next, they're growing now as we're talking about it.
Is that Josh Roberts that's leaving?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Josh is moving to Central Oregon, so.
Okay.
Chief Heights reports there. I'll let him talk about his report.
Just see as the numbers for December and then kind of 2025 in review. So 731 total inspections, 151 building permits approved. And then the one thing I want to kind of point out is over 2,000 citizens reached for public outreach. Like I said, I take credit for that, but I don't. A lot of that's gonna be Riley and his shift down there, especially with the students, or with the school outreach stuff there, so. Unless you guys have questions.
Thank you, Cody. Chief Bickerdike's report's next there. Because he even came with pictures.
He came with pictures.
Raising the bar.
So you can see our training hours at the top, things like that. Monday night drills completed. One of them that is of note, Chief Height built a wooden maze with a ball that you would manipulate using our lifting devices and our cribbing devices. And so you would raise this maze and manipulate it to get the ball to go from point A to point B. And we had a lot of great interaction with that. People had a lot of fun and a lot of excited people in the room. It was a great drill. So, we're gonna talk about the training tower. Sounds like Chief's gonna talk about that a little bit. Repairs are coming along, but we've run across a few that are gonna be a little bit on the expensive side, so. Training calendar is complete for 2026, and I've attached a copy for you guys to take a look at. We have DPSST props scheduled inside of that training calendar. So March 2nd is gonna be flammable liquids and gases. That's a real fun drill to come down and take a look at, and I encourage
encourage you guys, if you're interested, to come down and check it out. Vehicle fires will be April 6th. We're gonna get the vertical ventilation prop on May 4th. We usually keep that for a couple of weeks so that the crews can get some time going through that. And we'll usually let Depot Bay come through and do their stuff on that one as well. And then July 7th, we're gonna get the mobile fire training unit again. So that's that 52-foot trailer that gets parked out there. So it's been about 2 years since we've seen that here. And we're gonna have it, I hope, for a couple, 3 weeks, try and get the county involvement, get lots of crews running through that thing. It's fantastic when other county agencies come up, because oftentimes they come up shorthanded, and they look to our guys for manpower, right? So our guys get multiple reps running through that thing. It's a great situation for us. Support Person Academy is underway. Firefighter 1 Support Person Academy is underway. So tonight is the second official night. Chief Dolman taught on Monday night, went very, very well. We have 10 people that are attempting to get their Firefighter 1, and an additional 3 people that are going to be going for their NFPA support person. So it's pretty cool to see, you know, 13 people sitting in a class, eager and excited. So
where are the classes?
They're down at Station 16.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Christmas Joy Drive was very successful. 295 families, so slightly down from last year. We had 32 of our members show up with their families to help deliver toys. And we got through it in, I believe, probably a record amount of time. I don't think we've gotten out of there that quick in a long time. So lots of hands, lots of help, lots of smiles. Got some pictures for you guys to take a look at. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any questions for either one, Dave or Cody? Alright, we'll move down to the Chief's report.
I see the timer's going off in your head. You can see the ambulance activity, or our ambulance, 11 transports, one of them interfacility. And this is it was a pretty heavy month for December. You can see how much we've collected so far. There are 42 transports in some process of billing. That's down from what was 60. So you can see they're knocking them off and clearing that stuff out. We did send 6 accounts to collections. And we also took one got a local guy, and he said, he came in and said, hey, if I pay cash, will you give me a discount? We gave him a 20% discount. We told him if he wasn't local, we'd only give you 10% if you're paying in full. And the account was over a year, was it like a year and a half old?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a year and a half since we transported. So trying to clean up that old stuff on there. Notable monies received, you can see that in there. The only thing that's not is EF Recovery or Nightshade Solutions did not send us our check. And we just got it for, it was actually November's check that was dated December 10th, and we got it a week ago. So next month you'll see probably this, the payment we got from November and December on there.
And what is it?
For collections for motor vehicle crashes.
Oh.
For either insurance companies or non-district
residents.
I just
put another Nightshade's check in the bank today too.
So we'll add two of those next month.
Okay. Quick question on this. When people have ambulance insurance, how do you work that when you're on your billing?
So we honor Pacific West, their lifeguard. And
okay.
So I actually, I have 2 of them in there. And I make a note off the side on my Excel sheet that they're, how much is. So we'll collect the insurance if there's a copay that the patient would have to pay because
mm-hmm.
they have that. We would write that off. Same thing if they had fire bed, we would do the same thing with that. It's just kind of the right thing to do. So.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment, so drill tower roof hatch needs repairs. They pulled that off, sent pictures off to replace that roof hatch. They want $9,000. So Bob's looking at other things. In fact, I just saw an email today about the latch portion of it. Not just the hatch, he thinks he can, he, he's He's cleaned up and he's gonna take it in and have it galvanized. And then he thinks he can get a new handle and locking mechanism. I got an email just a few hours ago from the company that makes it out of Minnesota that they want just for the locking mechanism. They can replace that for $500. They said they don't make that anymore, but the engineer back there said, yeah, this one will work. So we need to get that fixed on there. We stripped off the old roof. They put some temporary covering on that. He's contacted several people because it's a flat roof. A lot of roofing companies just shy away and don't wanna do it. The only bid we've gotten back successfully is from Pfeiffer, and it's $11,975 to roof that flat portion.
Where is that?
It's the training tower down at Taft. And we need to fix that because.
Is it a vinyl roofing?
Well, it's vinyl, but it's so tough that you can walk on it, right? Because we go up there and we have anchor points that they could rappel off of. They have ladder stuff that they could utilize with the ladder truck to get on top of that. So it's not just a simple vinyl roof, it's a lot heavier material. Bob said he wants to try and look at it. I mean, he's contacted multiple places. Everybody that gave bids on the oldest fire station, he had that list and contacted all those. And a couple of them were non-responsive. Pfeiffer was the only one that got something back there. We have to replace that. It's leaking water into the building and all of the electrical work that we've done and that was ruined from other water that was being utilized, leaking in there. We've got to get that fixed, so.
It's not that big, is it?
It's not that big. That's why $12,000 is kind of shocking. The problem is it's got walls, so it goes up and it runs up the sides. And they have to seal that whole edge off. And it's putting it onto a concrete block.
Why can't you guys do it?
Well, I don't know. Pushing my butt. No, Nancy, I can't.
Super expensive.
I know. It would be something that you want done the right way, right?
All right.
You don't want to.
Vinyl roofing is pretty impressive.
It is. So there's more to follow on that. I'll inform you guys next month what we've decided to do. What Bo wanted to pass on is, so we had some we were thankful it was warranty repair work on one of the new engines. I say new, but they're 30 years old now. He took it into Cummins and they said, yeah, this is a warranty issue. We had to replace, I've told you that, all the rear tires on both of those. They've been through 3 years of wear. Brush 16, the 6.0 is out of service again.
No.
It was being, yeah, surprise, surprise. It was headed down to Newport for the rope rescue training, and it wouldn't get up over Cape Foul weather. He was doing 5 miles an hour by the time he hit the top.
Jeez.
So he coasted back home from there, got a running start. They've taken it into the shop. Right now the turbo was completely plugged with stuff, so they're cleaning the turbo out. And then there's some exhaust tubes that run up into, and I'm not sure where, but several of those were broken. So they're cleaning it, replacing those exhaust tubes, and then they'll try and diagnose the motor if there's any more issues with that. That in and of itself may fix it. Hopefully it fixes it until May, when we're scheduled to get our new Type 6 that we can get rid of that thing.
Is it coming that soon, this year?
Yes.
How old is this one?
How would the turbo get all plugged up?
Well,
it's a 6.0 liter diesel, and then with the emission stuff that they have, and then the idling time and stuff, they just plug up. It's just common.
Hmm.
Yeah. It
started out right out of the, as soon as we bought it. It's been bad.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, it's one of those, we've scheduled to replace it. I mean, that's why we went forth and got this other one. But in order to sell it, I mean, if the motor's blown, you're not going to get anything for it.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can put a Band-Aid on it and kind of, oh yeah, we had the heads done. It's a bulletproof motor. Taillight warranty, whatever it takes. Beach Rescue 16, the one from Taft, that's not on here, but it went out of service the other day because they were driving it and they thought it was a transmission issue. CV joint on one side of it, or the CV bolts came out and the CV completely dropped away. And so they got it back to the station here. Bo had to order bolts from Humvee Parts Unlimited or something like that. And we'll get that back together, and we hope it was just the CV and it wasn't the transmission. If it was the transmission, we're probably not going to be able to repair that vehicle. But we won't know if it's the transmission until we get that CV axle bolted back on and can take it out and drive it. So it's six bolts, and of course they have to be hardened steel bolts and all that kind of stuff. It is not our vehicle.
Correct.
It's a federal surplus vehicle. We don't get to sell it. We don't get to do anything. They're not going to fix it. They're going to take and trash it. So if it's, you know, I'll call up the federal excess property and say, hey, come pick up your vehicle. And then we'll hunt around and find something else to replace it with. So.
Let's hope it's just that.
Yeah, let's hope. It's a 1989. Mm-hmm. So it's been beat up pretty good by the military and then to us. So, Medic 16, it says here was out of service. We did go up and pick that up yesterday. All the door locks on the box malfunctioned, I guess is the best way to say it. Each one of those door locks has an individual actuator that they said they'd never seen one burn up as bad as this one, but you ended up replacing all six of them on all the doors. And they know about the problem because it does it on all those ambulances that they built. They just didn't send out a recall notice, come take it, fix it, whatever else. So
did we have to pay for it?
Yes. $2,200. And they replaced all of them and everything's working properly.
And what ambulance is that one?
It's you say it's new, but it's several years old now. So that's like saying I'm new.
You'd think that'd cover under warranty.
You would think so. The chassis and the motor are covered under warranty from Ford. The box is covered under a 1-year warranty from Braun. We've passed the 1-year mark. So, but they knew exactly what it was when we got it up there. They were able to, they were going to send us the stuff to fix it, but in order to get some of the back doors open, they wanted us to reach in and cut the nadir pins on the locks. And it was like, no, we're just going to take it to you to fix.
Call Ralph Nader.
Is that from corrosion that's causing that, or
no? They said it's just a malfunction in the electronic actuator for that.
Solenoid.
Yep, whatever's in there. He said that they've had a lot of them burn up and go bad. They'd never see one that had all the burned up marks like ours. They said that's pretty impressive, but the other ones were and they replaced them all because it wasn't just one in there. We had one that was burned. And they think that when that one burned, it tripped all the other ones to just not work anymore. So they replaced them all. That's where we are on vehicles and buildings. Next thing here, so the brush truck, our updated completion. They were getting it, about a month earlier than we thought. Yep. So we may be early May, end of April, in which we'll be going back and getting that. Ladder truck still has not started production. As soon as it does, we're going to get a bill from Pierce for the chassis that comes in. That's going to be, I think it's about $70,000-$80,000 for the first bill that comes through with that. So when that bill comes, we'll know that they've got the chassis and it's sitting in their shop for them to start working on. They haven't found any other engineering issues other than the front axles and the front tire size that they had to increase because of Oregon, the state of Oregon, and the weight that they can carry on that. Alarm responses, you can see what we ended up with December. So at the end of 2025, we raised 6% over last year. And so we ended the year with 3,587 alarms. And so 2 years ago, we dropped by 5.5%. And then it went up a little bit last year from the year before, and then we've jumped up to 6%. So if you go back 2 years, we're 25 calls ahead of where we were 2 years ago. So that dip, and then we're back up to even where we are a couple of years ago. And then there, so all those incident types are listed on that back page there. Major incidents, so the landslide on Highway 229, and then we had the wind event that we had plenty of power outages, and the town was without power for about, what, 12, 14 hours? Whatever night you spent, or Nancy spent at your house, whatever that was.
But the boys said they would have gotten me into my house.
Well, you didn't, I called you to say, Nancy, how are you doing? Well, I'm spending the night at Jerry's house.
Can't get into my house.
Yeah. And that was for December. So, you know, January, we've had a couple of bigger incidents, and if we want to talk about those at the end of this week, that's fine. But that'll be next year. New IT providers, so again, Fast Tech has taken over, updated all the computers, put all the switches and firewalls in place. That's why you had that one bill in there that was $17,000 for the equipment that they had to upgrade and purchase for us. Yesterday, when we went up to Chehalis, we dropped the board computers off with them. One of those computers, they have to actually replace the hard drive on for $200 that they're putting that in. And so I expect that they'll be ready to get either picked up or shipped down to us by next week. And they're mirroring them all the same. I told them, well, here's what they do with them. They get emails on them. They want to be able to open their emails. They want to respond back. They want to read all the documents that are attached to the emails. So.
I have to do QuickBooks, though.
Well, you can go online because it will go online. You just have to log into your, whatever you have at home.
Okay.
And that's a web-based program. You get to log into that. Not a big deal. So. Personnel issues, so we still got one on probation. He's doing very well. 8 volunteers in their first year of training. And so we have 21 active firefighters and plus 4 support personnel. We had 2 leave, Josh Roberts. Pauline Morrison also resigned as chaplain. She's just the hospital. She hasn't been very active for the last couple of years since she took that job at the hospital. She lives right down behind Station 16, but she just sent me the email back. She says, I have to step down. So at some point, she'd like to come back and do something, but right now, her job is just taking up all of her time. David already talked briefly about the academy. So we got 12 people attending. 8 are new firefighters that we'll be adding to our roster. And then we have the cadet for the youth program that started out. We have 4 at Monday night's drill. There was a 5th who was sports. He was doing a basketball game or something, so he wasn't there. Paid leave Oregon changed, so at the first of the year, we switched to away from standard insurance, and we're now through the state of Oregon. I think we learned a few lessons out of that. The biggest lesson being that standard insurance wanted to raise our rates by $5,000 for the year, whereas the state of Oregon was staying flat. So we moved off to that, and now the employees, anybody who takes paid leave of Oregon, they get to log into paid leave, they get to create their own account, they get to see everything that's on there. The district, because we're already reporting stuff to the state of Oregon, it auto-populates into that, and then we're not going back and forth and arguing about, well, this is what, how much money I think should be in there, and this is what that is. It's all done through the state. It's a lot less on our part, and I think more on the employee's part and more on the state of Oregon's part. Did I summarize that correctly?
You did.
Okay.
Just one big hiccup is just employees, it ought to take them longer to get paid out on the policy, but that's the risk you take by taking the leave. So.
Yep. Information stuff, so we're still working through our transition between NFERS and NARIS, and it's not just us, it's the entire United States that's doing it. Every time we get a new type of report and look into it, we have new questions, new things that need to be answered, things, you know, that it's an adventure. I think Cody's been working the hardest on it. We're looking at every report that everybody does, because in a couple months, once we get the standard done, when it comes to Sarah, we want her to be able to recognize what's acceptable and what's not. So we'll get that all worked out. The state has been overwhelmed with questions about the process, and I think she's not even calling us back or emailing us back right now.
I think she just sees it's us and it's like,
I think she quit. But we're still working on it. Nancy made mention to it, so I made a presentation to the hospital district for calling it a grant to purchase some equipment to replace a couple of aging out AEDs, to put a couple of public access AEDs in our fire station, and to get some pediatric equipment, some training aids, and some equipment itself. They approved that, and so they'll be tomorrow.
Check, probably tomorrow.
Running a check to us.
They don't want to be recognized because they don't want other people going and asking for money.
Except us, every year. So we'll be getting $25,000. That'll come in, and you'll have to pass a resolution to utilize that money. But we've already got price quotes.
For that equipment.
Homeland Security grant still on hold with the state of Oregon. Audit documentation has all been sent to the state. Everything's completed for 2024-25. Turnouts, so nothing word on the AFG grant still because the federal government FEMA still has that in, frozen out. We did, through our anonymous donor, get money for five sets. We had C-Western came down yesterday and measured some folks for those, so we'll be getting those on order and get those sets. We do have some other mother money that we have allocated for protective equipment. The compressor, SCV compressor at Station 16 is out of service. We received our air sample back and it came in at high moisture content, which is not shocking because of where we live. We have high moisture, you know, humidity down here is 100% a lot. So the service guy, we were scheduled for service on the 27th of this month. I think we're trying to get him here next week, get him here a little bit earlier. And we don't know if a filter change will take care of that. We don't know if it's just, so when they take the air sample, it's out of one bottle, not out of all of them. At least that's what John did. So it may be that that one bottle has excess moisture in it. Then how do we get rid of it out of that bottle? Do we just drain that bottle and refill it? Is that get rid of the moisture? So we're going to lean on the service guy to help us through that so we can get that compressor back working for us. I'm sure it's going to cost us money. I have no idea what now. Volunteer equipment grant, so we've already started purchasing that stuff. I had to fill out a risk assessment form with them that talked about how we've managed grants in the past and our ability to do that. So that's been turned in and approved. We weren't supposed to order anything prior to that being done. Actually, what it says, if you order anything, you do so at your own risk. Well, I ordered it at our own risk. They're still going to cover it. I mean, it didn't change anything. So, and that's a 50-50 matching grant. Again, the budget has started for next year, the 26-27 budget. We'll be sending out budget request forms for people who want to do stuff like that. I attached on here, on the next page past mine, Kathy updated our expected revenue. I said our expected revenue from last year was $41,000. When she calculated out and took in account for other things, it's actually $44,000. So another $3,000. We won't do like Central Coast and give everybody a bonus, but that's okay. Banquet the 28th. And then the last thing that's not on my list, I would like to ask for an executive session next board meeting. We're going to be opening up negotiations for wage increase with the union, and I need to talk to you guys about the parameters of how, and it's for wages only, and I'll come back with some budget figures, and you can tell me what my limits are.
Okay. So
if you'll agree to a budget or to an executive session, we'll put it on the calendar. Other than that, I got nothing else.
Yep. Thank you, Chief. Sure you don't have anything else?
I come up with something if you ask me.
No.
All right. Upcoming district board member activities. I don't see anything on that, so go down to good of the order. Does anybody have anything for the good of the order?
I'd like to see you start working on getting the sign for Rose Lodge. We talked about that when we got these
electronic reboard.
Correct. Get that in the works. Do we have to put it in next year's budget, or is it?
Yeah. So it now is a good time just to at least get the pricing and get that in there. I know these were about $45,000 a piece. I don't know if the county's got any sign ordinance stuff that we might have to adhere to, but we would start by checking that and then getting a price. price for that? So you're talking about just Station 12 out there on the road?
I don't think Otis needs one.
I wouldn't think Otis would need one, just probably just a road lodge.
Highway 229, yeah, road closed ahead, something, something. No, that's a good idea, Dan, I think it really is.
And I think we should ask the city for money too for it.
For the one out of Rose Lodge?
I think county.
Aren't they still able, the police department able to run our signs? Oh, they're not?
No, they've never been able to.
Oh, okay.
I think we ought to ask the county, since out there, we can say wildfire ahead.
That would be the Oregon Department of Forestry there.
Them, or yeah, ODOT even, road closed.
I agree, I think we should start looking into that, so can you guys please do that for us?
Okay.
Thank you. Is everybody in agreement with that?
Yes.
Okay. Good one. Call for any public comments or non-agenda items, anybody have any comments?
I guess that would look good, especially at night for all the folks running back and forth.
This fire yesterday, it was determined it was caused by a battery.
Yeah, I'll let Cody answer, he did the investigation.
And how large a battery was it?
About this big.
Your water bottle?
Yeah, maybe, not even big as my water bottle.
Like a 12 volt battery or something like that, or?
Lithium ion battery?
It's a lithium battery that is used in a remote control car that's about this big.
Okay.
So I mean, like I said, it's about this big, about that big, maybe, you know, about size of a can, king size candy bar.
Is there any recommendation for people that have those batteries as to?
They're everywhere.
They are everywhere, don't leave them charged.
Don't leave them.
Don't leave them plugged in, charging, unattended.
That's probably what happened, is that right?
Yeah, no, it was actually not charging, in fact, they haven't used it in a year. It's just been sitting there, so moisture can get to them and cause.
Shorting out.
Cause them to short out and do that.
Same thing as a cell phone, Jerry.
Pardon?
Same kind of stuff as a cell phone.
Yeah.
A lithium ion battery, you know, all the all new, so it's a kind of the same kind of deal, you just got to be cautious with them.
We had a house fire down in Taft on 46th Street, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was determined, the insurance investigator, and so the guy went and mowed his lawn with his electric lawnmower. And he parked it, and he was finished in his shed that was attached to his house, and plugged it into charge. And when he was showing me, when we were walking in the backyards, where it had exploded and all the pieces of the battery that were scattered around in the backyard. And then to find out that it was not, the battery was one that he went on Amazon and purchased that said, this will fit your machine. It wasn't manufactured by the people that manufactured his lawnmower.
Okay.
So his answer to the guy is, so you save $10 and you burn down your house. So if you buy a Milwaukee piece of equipment, buy the Milwaukee battery, don't get the knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ron Smith is the investigator, he used to be Depot Bay's fire chief for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So Ron had just a whole list of people that had and testing that had been done over those lithium batteries and the cheap knockoffs that you buy that are made in China and Taiwan and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell on Amazon for, you know, $10 less than how you just don't do it. So
I guess maybe a person ought to just take and run an extension cord out in your yard and set the charger out there with the battery.
Yeah.
So you won't burn down your house.
We had a lady in a motel here. Hers blew up, and she was carrying it down the hallway to put it in the elevator. So they're, if you look at the city of New York, they come out with training bulletins all the time for fire departments for them, but they share them out with the lithium ion battery problems. And if that's just a little one in their garage, wait till that Tesla catches fire. You know?
Yeah.
That's why they tell us 8,000 to 10,000 gallons of water.
It's about that size.
Amazing.
Okay.
A few things that
anything else? All right, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Nancy Hassmo?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yeah, yeah.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
All right, motion passes.
So, please, let's not run off, we have pictures to.
Sick, yes.
Well, maybe.
I need a haircut, I have a mask to mention.
I didn't bring it up to me, I was just gonna ask you, this guy by the name of Strange, last name.